This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
So don't accept this silly idea of freedom, this deteriorated concept of freedom that we have in this world. That's not the right kind of freedom. If you study the development of the term freedom, you'll find that when the wise, when the great educators conceived the term freedom, they didn't conceive it as permissiveness, a license to do anything. That wasn't the way that term was perceived. They perceived freedom as a limited freedom. Freedom as long as you respected certain standards, certain norms, certain given framework that a human being was to live in. Is that not right? That was the idea of freedom. And it actually meant freedom, freedom. It meant the freedom of your intellect, not the freedom of your sex. You have to discipline your sex. You shouldn't have no free sex. Your sex is supposed to be with your wife. So now they make freedom this permissiveness, a license for everything. So they're giving the masses that idea of freedom. So, hell, I got a right to be free just like everybody else. Look how they slip in a poison definition. See, freedom used to be something that our souls wanted. The soul of our ancestors were pursuing freedom. And now they change the definition without our recognition. And we're still talking about, we're still using the same term, but it's referring to different concepts. And that's another way that they have to destroy the masses. All right. So let us see here. Looking at sentiments again. Human, coming back to the human constitution. Looking at sentiments. We mentioned the tears of joy and the tears of sadness. Or the sweet and salty water. Mirth. Play. Some people are just moved by the spirit of play. They're just playful people, right? And believe me, those who sit behind closed doors, while they praise you in the open, but behind doors, there are whites and other races that criticize us behind closed doors. They call us a playful people. They say, yes, yeah, Negroes are very playful. The blacks are very playful. That's how they characterize us, as a playful people. Okay, you know, the ship that sailed, that plot, go, what do they call it, plowing through the waters, it's got a control. No, the thing that a man, the captain has. They call it a stern, doesn't it? Stern. The stern is the one that keeps it on course, isn't it? If I remember correctly. I think the stern is the thing that keeps the ship on course. The stern. Okay, all right. So what is the stern saying to the wise? And now we have to share with the masses. The stern is saying that when you're in big emotional waters, you better have a stern. Stern means not playful. Oh, she has very stern sentiments. That means she does not have playful sentiments. All right? Yes, sir. Okay. Now, you know, I don't have to tell you, all of us will agree that blacks have a higher emotionality than other races. Isn't that all right? The church life is a sign of it. We are more emotional in Christianity than other races. The blues is a sign of it. Rhythm and blues is a sign of it. Our entertainment life is a sign of it. When we have entertainment, we are more emotional than other people. If someone appeals to our emotions, they get greater response than they get from other people. So now, if we arrive at this, if we arrive at this constitution of ours, then we ought to wisely approach it. We ought to wisely manage it. Don't be so quick to just open up your emotional, expose your emotional private nerves and private places. Expose this delicate skin of yourself to strangers, to other races. Before you even know them. Don't do that. That's ignorance on the part of the ethnic society. The ethnic society that you see move with caution, they got more intelligence than the ones that just expose their very private, sensitive, delicate skin to people they just meet. Don't do that. That's a sign of immaturity, sign of ignorance on the part of a society. And that's us. Right now, I'm talking to you. But if a foreigner would come up here, he could come up here and take my place and talk to you, and you all would just be just as happy. More than 50% of you all would accept a foreigner to come up and interrupt my talk. If I didn't show no resistance. If he came up here, said, oh, assalamu alaikum, brother Imam. I said, wa alaikum assalam. Said, yeah, it's a beautiful crowd you got here. Said, brothers and sisters, I'm happy to see you. You, how am I, brothers and sisters? Fine. Instead of saying, wait a minute, mister. The man is talking to us. He's saying something important. Can you wait? Introduce yourself later. Don't interrupt our speaker. See, you haven't been trained like that. You haven't come up like that. You've been trained to think somebody that doesn't look like you is doing you a favor to come in your society. See, slavery is behind you in your memory. It's in your genes. It's in your spirit. See, you're used to hearing that white people don't like you. That white people think you're inferior. That people think they're better than you. You're used to hearing all your life through your genes, generations behind you, that you are inferior to other people. So you think it's a blessing, it's a credit, it's a gift of kindness, or it's a courtesy, it's a love blessing, if a foreigner come up in your thing. And what you first should do is say, hey, what you want, mister? That's what you first should do. If you have intelligent, mature social sensitivity, you would say, not emotionality, social sensitivity. You would say, hey, mister, say, what, are you coming to attend the meeting? He said, yes. Well, have a seat. He said, I'm sorry, I got a condition. I can't sit down. I have to sit in this chair. Oh, well, why didn't you say that? Well, look, don't sit right in that door in front of us like that. Take a seat back there. Will someone take him and sit him back there? You don't have no right to sit in that door that we don't have. Now, I think a lot of you know what I'm referring to. Say, well, now you got to come here and sit in the door. In a chair and sit in the door. What are you trying to suggest? Want to spook somebody up? No, don't you sit in the door. You just tell him, I don't care who you are. You get no respect than your leader. No, I mean, this is my duty. To help us mature our social sensitivity. So we find that above all is what? System. And we talk about this. The system is wrong. If the system is wrong, what are you doing about correcting it? Or if it can't be corrected, what are you doing about conceiving a new one? Or looking for a better one? There are systems within systems. And we invite you to an Islamic system. I guarantee it's good. Certainly it's good. I don't care what the state of the Islamic world is. The system is good. The leaders have been deceived. Or the people have been deceived to accept bad leadership. The system is good. They just don't recognize it. Oh, so we look above us, and this is a system here, isn't it? We belong to a system. The whole system that we belong to is called the sun system, the solar system. But above us are many other systems. This is just one. They say there are millions of systems. And when we look at the sky at night, we see millions of systems in the form, in the stars, right? And the stars and the systems and the order that they take in the heavens. Now, dear beloved people, if systems are above us, what does that indicate? That indicates that highest in your achievement is to achieve systems. Yes! You need a methodology, but even more important than that, a methodology has to have a system, right? there now, I got a good method. But do you have a system for it? Is that method contained within a system? Is it protected and preserved within a system? Can it apply to many systems? Is it a universal method? Okay, well then relate it to a system. Right? If you don't relate it to a system, you'll misuse it. Or you won't get the benefit. Okay, system. The heavens exist in us individually. We go off on our individual self. And as we go out, we find that this self is contained within system. Right? Now, look what's going to happen now with the language. Now, if we want to locate our motivation needs, as understood in our environment. So that's all. If it wasn't for the environment, we wouldn't have any needs, would we? No, we wouldn't have any needs. You're a product of the environment. That's why you have needs. Okay. So we find that human being and his environment, he wants to experience joy, warmth, light, and growth. He won't experience these things. And where there is no nerve, though, well, there's just no motivation. Because motivation depends upon nerve, doesn't it? There has to be some nerve to register something. Then there's a motivation. You see? Now, the solar system, what is it? In other terms, or can we phrase it differently? We can say it is a network, isn't it? Yeah, solar system is a network. Now, how do they describe the human symmetry, or the human anatomy, or whatever you want to call all this? How do they describe it in its vital functions of operation? The sun is in the center, the earth, the bodies go around it, right? Now here, describing a human being, he has what they call the solar plexus. And they say it represents that network of nerves vital to the internal function. Is that not right? Oh, yes. Yeah, I know, because as a boxer, they say, give him a good uppercut to the solar plexus, he might drop his guard. Then he can get a shot at his skin. Out of the skin, you know. They used to tell me that, say to be a boxer, you see. They told me about the solar plexus. So, now, if you understand that much now, what should that tell us about the language? After all, what are we talking in except language? What are we thinking in except language? So if the language says something, we should be interested. Because it's going to tell us something about the thinker who conceived the term while it's telling us something about his language or his term, right? Yes, when we know something about his term, that tells us something about him. All right, so now if they tell us the solar system is the Earth's family that has other bodies, Mars and all these around it, and the center of it is the sun that is called solar, right? Sun and solar. Okay, so what does it tell us? We know what the soul means. S-O-L-E. One. Wasn't a soul there. Means wasn't a single person there. Right? So soul means one. Solar system. One system. Ain't no two suns. One sun. Is that not right? Okay, now they tell you this is the solar plexus. And we were talking earlier in this talk on faith. A couple of days ago, we were talking about the importance and understanding that you don't have two hearts. That you only have two hearts. And the heart is symbolic of your conscience. Your inner conscience. Your social conscience. Symbolic of your most vital conscience. Right? Oh, yes. So, now, if the sun is so important to this universe, what does sun give? Sun gives comfort to this world. Right? Sun gives movement to the world. Sun gives growth to the world. Sun gives life to the world. Is that not right? All right. Now, if that's so important for movement, comfort, growth, everything. Don't you know the sun moves the air? Sun moves the water? Now, if the sun is so important to the solar system, and they call this now solar, right in the center here, right there. That's the solar plexus right there. If they call this solar for my body, then this must be more important to all of this. Right? See how you can nail them down? They can say, I can tell them, say, Father Muhammad said that if there's a piece of meat. When it's all good, when it's good, it's all good. When it's bad, it's all bad. He says, and it's the heart. And I can go and on and talk about the importance of the heart in the consciousness of a democratic society. And Prophet Muhammad's heart was what merited him the revelation. God says, and we revealed it on his heart. We entrusted it to his heart. So his heart what merited him the gift of revelation. And we can go on and on talking about the heart. Now, if the scientist that supposed to be the ruler of empiricism, if he now says that the sun is solar, and the solar system is the system of bodies of worlds that go around the sun, we know it's important to his family. We know it's important to this earth. Now he calls this solar plexus. So you're hiding something from the masses that you're working with yourself, you dirty damn devil bastard. Can't you see it plainly? Yes. So he got up looking for his tools. His tools of science. Following signals. And not following Allah's signals. He signaled us, go that way. Let your mind go that way. Let your mind. Allah signaled us. He didn't want us to follow Allah's signals. But now Allah, with his word, has brought us home. He has brought us home. Now, are we going to now worship them still? You would be foolish and ungrateful to go back and worship the white man's world, worship his system, worship his institutions, and let people shame you out of following this leader because I don't have that credential. You would be a fool, right? That's why the black stone in the Kaaba starts our circle. We go to the Kaaba. We find where the black stone is in the Kaaba. And from that corner of the house, we begin our circle. We make our seven circles, complete them, and we can go on for the rest of the rituals or the rites of the heart. That black stone is a symbol of what? The heart. But not the heart above our heads. The heart that have accepted to be on our level. In other words, the heart that has died. See, when the heavenly body falls from the sky, it's white and lit, flaming in the sky. But when it falls from the sky, it cools off, it becomes dark. So the stone in the corner of the Kaaba was a star, was a mirror. Not a star, what you call it? A mirror. It fell from the sky, and it didn't burn up. It cooled on earth, black. And Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, he took it as a sign that God wants him to make that the orienting or the lining stone, the corner that lines up the rest of the structure. So he made it central, or he made it vital to the construction of its whole house, the Kaaba. So Muhammad put it back in its place. That's why we know it wasn't put in a different place. So Muhammad put it back in its place. So he placed it back into the corner of the house. And the scripture that came before the Quran says, and the rejected stone became the corner of the building. That's what scripture says. What is the rejected stone? The heart. What is the heart symbolic of? Social conscience. Social conscience. The heart pumps blood to all the members of the body. It's like the mother taking care of all her children. And where is it all coming from? Internal. Is that not right? Internal. The internal organs, they supplying the extremities, the outer members, with what they need for their life and operation. Even the brain is supplied by the internal organs. Right? Praise be to Allah. So it's symbolic of the social conscious. Rightly established. Don't go proud up into the heavens. Don't be like the sun that rises and sets. Come on down with your fellow man and stay with him. Yes. Certainly it's beautiful. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who is the prophet with the complete revelation, the last of the prophets, that is, to be sent by Almighty God for the benefit of human beings, human society, of human beings. It is important to understand the Sunnah of the Prophet. The Sunnah of the Prophet. Sunnah is a very important term in our religion. And it has been described as the way, our manner in which something is done is the Sunnah by an individual. His Sunnah is his way of conducting his affairs. That's his Sunnah. Some of us mix Hadith and Sunnah, although these are very close, they're not the same. Hadith is the report of the Sunnah. Hadith is the report of the Sunnah made by others, and they reported what the Prophet has said. Hadith also means anything that's communicated is a Hadith. The Quran itself is Hadith. And it says, and what better Hadith will you find than this Quran? This is what Allah says in the Quran. So Hadith is something that is communicated, and it ordinarily refers to discussion, talk, discussion of talk. When that discussion of talk is reported, then it becomes recorded Hadith. For the Prophet, I'm sure we understand what we're talking about. The recorded Hadith of the Prophet. The sayings, doings, the life of the Prophet, how he conducted himself, how he demonstrated the principles and teachings of the religion in his life, so that others would see the correct example or would know the correct model or example to follow. And Allah Most High says in the Quran that you will find in Prophet Muhammad the most excellent model. Most excellent model. So in the Quran itself, Allah has given us Muhammad as the model for us to model ourselves after our conduct in life and the religion. After him. To model our life after him. Now again, Sunnah of the Prophet. There's a term too, Sirah. Of the Prophet, Sirah of the Prophet. And Sirah is a term in history, refers to the history of the Prophet. And the history of a Prophet will include language that will not be as restricted to the words of the Prophet as the Hadith. The Hadith is restricted to the words of the Prophet. And Sunnah, again, it refers to the way that the Prophet himself conducted himself. The Sunnah of the Prophet, the way that he conducted himself. And whatever occurs, it happens in a certain way. There's a manner or procedure for whatever occurs, even if it happens haphazardly, in no orderly fashion. There's still a way. That's how we describe it, right? Yeah. So there's a description for whatever occurs. There's a description for how it occurs. So the Sunnah is a description of how Prophet Muhammad lived his life. The Sunnah of the Prophet. And we have two prayers that is two rulings for prayers. And one is Fard, which means, Fard means obligatory, must. You cannot excuse yourself from those prayers. And then we have Sunnah prayers. And these Sunnah prayers, they have also a strong reference to, I would say, must duties, obligatory duties. though they are not listed as part of them, they are very strongly recommended. Very strongly recommended. If you understand the Sunnah of the Prophet, then you will understand that Farad requires to what your nature, has established as its need, Farad. And Sunnah refers to what the enlightened conscience, of man has recognized as a need. So Allah, the creator that is, He prepares us on the level of nature and on the level of human conscience. And Prophet Muhammad, his particular leadership represents the excellence that God has given man on the level of human conscience. So, if we understand this, then we should understand that to follow the Prophet Muhammad is to follow his sunnah. You cannot do farad and say you follow Prophet Muhammad. To follow Prophet Muhammad is to follow his sunnah. And his sunnah is so important to society because it is the enlightened conscience of the individual that corrects wrongs done in the society against the individual. So actually the Prophet himself, he is the center of attention when it comes to the needs of the individual. What the individual needs to preserve him in society. What the individual needs to keep him from being oppressed. It is the sunnah of the Prophet. That's what you need. The sunnah of the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, in his personal life, is a demonstration of the rights of the individual. We know this by many facts, or evidences in Quran and sunnah. We know this. But I will recall only one now. In the Quran, Allah says of Prophet Muhammad, he says, "And I am a free man in this town." So Allah established the right of the individual. He was born in that town. He was a native of that town. And he had the rights of any other man. So he says in the Quran, "And I am a free man in this town."
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad. This is the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
Look at the Hebrew story. In the Hebrew story, Dathan in slavery. Dathan was a slave. But Dathan had jewels, fine clothes, servants, and everything. And he was a slave. Dathan was a slave. This is in Hebrew story, Hebrew history. So what I'm telling you is a white man has fooled you. He got you riding around in your Mercedes and in your Rolls Royce. He got you riding in big cars and showing a big bank roll. And you still ain't nothing but a slave. You're a pampered slave. Why are you a pampered slave? Look at the image of your race. Look at your image of your race in the economic statistics. Look at the image of your race in the moral statistics. Look at the image of your race in the population, of the, in the prison population. Huh? Do I have to go further to show you that you are nowhere? Look at the image of your race in Ambassador Andrew Young. Where is his station now? Where is his dignity now? And he was an ambassador of these United States and wasn't guilty of any crime. And they have thrown that man out and treat him now just like he's a common nigger. Others, they honor if they have gone to that high station. They honor and they treat them differently on television. But look how they treat Andrew Young. You want to see your station? You want to see where you are? Look at your mayor of Chicago. Look at his pitiful situation. And he's the mayor of this city. Legally voted in. But look at his situation there. You tell me you're any better off than Dathan?
No.
Say, well, Chief, we've talked about this a lot. How are we going to change it? If you ask me that question, you ain't fit to be here. Not after sitting here all this time listening to the great wisdom that Allah has blessed us with.
I believe all of us still have that desire to improve upon our worth as a people. I believe none of us want to stay confined in mediocrity. To exit from it, what do we have to do? We have to reject the mind of Showtime society. Don't you know our mind is dominated by Showtime interest? Most of us get money for Showtime. Working like hell, got three jobs. That's right. Working three jobs. He rests during the break. He uses toilet and rests during break. He shaves and everything on the job. Don't you know that people do that? He showers and shaves and everything on the job. His life ain't nothing but work. What is his goal? Why is he working three jobs? Why is he working more than any creature on earth? The bat sleeps during the day. The man at night. Now, what is this creature now that working 24 hours all around the clock? What's motivating him? What is his object? What does he want? What does he want? He only wants to be seen. So, if we are to rise above this level of mediocrity, we are to get this Showtime spirit out of ourselves. You can't even accept your leader and give him the respect that he deserves because you think he's depriving you of the spotlight. Why does he have to handle the meeting? He's the leader. He already got everything. Yeah, I have got everything that's burdensome. Say, he's the national leader. How come he got to come down here and move Imam Qasem? He just got to dominate everything. Got a lot of brothers here can handle this, but he just has to put himself out here on earth. I'm in Chicago. I'm not in New York. I'm not in Washington, D.C. Now, you're a fool not to want the best if the best is in your city. And I'm not bragging. I'm not patting myself on the back. One young fellow said, "Imam pats himself on the back." He's another nut. No, but people in the emotional state who haven't graduated above the water level, they have to be talked to like this. If you were batting 1,000 here, I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else, doing something else. Again, let us look to the Quran, for Allah says, بَلِ اتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَمَنْ يَهْدِي مَنْ أَضَلَّ اللَّهُ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. He says, nay, but they follow those who oppress themselves. Without knowledge. Now, what does this mean? Those who oppress themselves, they are oppressors. الَّذِينَ ظَالَمُوا. They are the oppressors. But they follow what? أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. They follow their own motivations. They follow their own inclinations, their own opinions, their own inklings, their own urges, without respecting what Allah, what their Creator wants for them. And in another place in the Quran, Allah says, who is worse than such a person who takes his ahwa, who takes his own motivations or his own impulses for God? When they tell you to follow your own opinion, they are telling you to take your own impulses for your God. They all don't listen to him. Follow your own opinion. You got a mind of your own. A law says follow the best. And the intelligent world follows that intelligent kind of reasoning. They don't pick the worst. They try to find the best mind they got, and they put in a position of authority over their country. If it's a science project, they try to find the best one to put over the science project. They look for the best mind. They don't tell them, oh, okay, well, everybody do his own thing. After all, you all are entitled to your own opinion. They don't practice that kind of crazy philosophy among themselves, but when it comes to the stupid masses, they want to feed you that idea. Don't let no leader come over. You don't let no leader and walk in any man's shadow. Why, hell, I'd rather walk in Prophet Muhammad's shadow, not only his shadow. If I can't see his shadow, if I can sense or smell his perfume, the must out of perfume that he used, I'd rather walk behind that than to follow this crazy world. But they want to deny the common people leadership. So they feed you all of these charge words that sensitize you, appeal to your weaknesses, appeal to your individual weaknesses, your narrow selfishness. Appeal to that to get you to reject leadership. Say, oh, be your own man. Don't listen to that leader. Don't listen to Wallace. Be your own man. Stupid. They'll call you stupid. Because they know you're stupid. And they want you to react to that word. So they know you're stupid. They wouldn't say that unless they knew that you were stupid. So they said, don't be stupid. Don't follow that man. See, and then you feel embarrassed. You don't want to be stupid. But they knew you were stupid to start with. They wouldn't have spoken to you that way if you wasn't stupid. So don't be stupid. Don't follow him. He ain't got no degrees from college or nothing. See, he's nothing but a demagogue. He want to dictate. The dictator like his father was. He'll tell you stuff like that. Right? You know, some of you have been talked to like that. They've tried to get you to stop respecting me. I know they have. Yeah. Because they want to deny the common people leadership. As long as you turn down good leadership, they know you ain't going to have no strength. Because in order to collect your strength, you have to have good leadership. Then under good leadership, you can collect your strength and protect your interests. All right. Let's go on. Says, so they are the oppressors, they oppress, and they make their own desires. They follow their own desires. They oppress, they are the oppressors, or those who oppress follow their own desires. And who follow their own desires without knowledge. Be righty in them without knowledge. What knowledge? Without insight, without divine guidance that gives human beings insight, correct insight. So they don't have that, although they have their empiricism or their empirical methods. They're still dumbbells, following their own desires, their own impulses, if they are not grounded in wisdom, the revealed knowledge. Then it says, then who can guide one that Allah leaves astray? What is it telling us? One expression telling us two important things. That once an individual makes his own spirit his guide, then Allah leaves him. Allah lets him go on his own. Allah doesn't protect him no longer. So Allah gonna let him now, he gonna meet his consequences. Allah gonna let him meet the due consequences. So Allah says now, if Allah cut himself off from a person, who can now guide that person? No. So don't think I'm trying to convert all of you. No. I'm just trying to make sure that I give you as much as I can. And after I finish, if nothing but one or none, that's Allah's will. I have no power over that. Yeah. So whoever go out here and call me, you can call me a dog. You can say, man, you ain't you. Go to hell. You dumb sucker, you. You think that's going to hurt me? No. It ain't going to hurt me. You can't hurt me by attacking me. No, indeed. Because I live for Allah, not you. So there will be none, there will be no one to help them. Not only will they be left without a guide, but there will be no one to bring them to establishment or to victory.
Then the next verse says, Fa'akim wajahaka lid-din. Fa'akim wajahaka lid-din hanifa. Fitrat Allahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha. La tabdila li khalqi Allahi dhalika ad-din al-qayyima. Says in English, therefore, now after understanding that, what you talk about in English, then it says, therefore, establish yourself upright for the religion that is pure and upright. The original way established by Allah, upon which He patterned man. You will find no change in the created pattern of Allah. That is the right religion. That is the right religion. Says Walakin. But Akthar an-nasi, the majority of the people, they do not understand. See, the insights that we have brought, being brought today, from the wisdom, the Quran, and from this divine word, the majority of the people don't have that. Not only are they without that, the majority of the people don't even have a sensitivity that will enable God to grace them with that. So it is telling the believers who are sincere at heart, so don't now be deluded and think that, don't get all overjoyed and think that now when you share this with others, they're going to be overjoyed. Majority of the people, they are not even in tune. They are not tuned to be appreciative. So don't despair if you find them not being moved. But this is the knowledge that you need in order to progress, equal, and excel others for the improvement of the lot of man. Praise be to Allah. So it says, so set thy purpose for religion in the right state. The nature upright, the nature formed by Allah, in which He has created man. There is no altering the laws of Allah or the laws of Allah's creation. That is the right religion, but most men know it not. And the next verse says, and be careful of your duty unto Him of Allah, to Allah, and establish worship, and be not of those who ascribe partners with God. And the next verse says, of those who split up their religion and became schismatic, or became sects, parties separate from each other. Each sect exalting in its own sect. See how this is connected? See how the verses are connected? If you don't have the right state or the right position of mind, spirit and mind, if your spirit is wrong, your mind, your thinking is going to be wrong. And if that's wrong, then you are going to fall under your own influences. And your own influences are going to dominate you to the extent that you're going to glorify in your own attributes. And what's that going to do to you? That's going to make you then disrespect God. And you'll start making associations with God. Why? Because you want to take authority from divine authority. And if you can break up the divine concept, then you can get some authority by breaking up the divine authority. If you can do that, right? So you want to strive partners with God. And once you've done that, then you get your own little clique. You got your own little cult of wise folks, right? And each little cult go off boasting in its own science. Divide, destroy the unity of man in society. So that's what God is telling us. And what has done this? It starts with that arrogance of mind, arrogance of intellect, where you think a creature is naturally evolving and there's no superior force responsible for it.
It's just nature expressing itself. And since it's nature expressing yourself, then you make yourself to God after you think you've become wiser than everybody else. And you make yourself to God. The world was much better off when it had a God that was above human beings than it was when it accepted a God that was human. Yeah. When it started accepting human gods, that's when slavery came. Pharaoh was a human god. False god. Human being. Slavery under him. The image of a man on the cross, they say Jesus, a lie. It's not Jesus. But they say it's Jesus. They give us a human blood, flesh and blood man on a cross and tell us that's God manifest. Under that image has come the worst form of slavery in the history of man. So you show me man as God, and I can show you the worst treatment to man under man God. That's history. Don't argue with me, that's science. Okay? No room for argument. Prophet Muhammad came against that idea. And under Prophet Muhammad, that was the greatest degree of freedom. The greatest degree of human freedom. The greatest degree of human respect. Greatest degree of human dignity under Prophet Muhammad. And he was the one who attacked the idea of man God. This is history. Facts of history. The Jews, the Christians, they both say that they had the most shining page of history of different religious people living and thriving together is that page of history that lasts for almost 7 centuries. In fact, for 7 centuries in Spain. Both Jews and Christians report this as well as Muslims. Where they were for 700 years under Muslim rule. Do you know America is only 200 years old? And I'm talking about a rule of Muslims that lasts 700 years. More than 3 times older than the life of the United States. And they say for 700 years, historians, for 700 years, Christianity, Christian communities, Jewish communities, Muslim communities thrived under Islamic rule. Says that when the Islamic rule ended there, because of the empires all over, coming against the Muslim rule, with firepower that they had discovered from China. Firepower put them into material superiority over the other nations. And with firepower, they gained dominance over the other nations. Along with a lot of other power that they had too. A lot of other cunning. In other words, the cunning of the Satan, the beast. And cruel dominance of man gave them dominance in time over the human society that were existing before they came up. This is nothing but history. In fact, you can argue with it if you want. I don't have time to argue with it. All right. Okay. Now, if they say that, where can we find 700 rules under any other religion? Like that. Nowhere. I believe I'm on the last, yes, you're on the last page. It won't be long now. So, dear beloved people, now we come back to the central world, the human world, that is to be respected, is to be understood, appreciated for its knowledge and its value, and then it is to conform to the whole, the unity. In other words, the individual is to see his worth in the whole concept of society or the global community. And then work to attain high levels of excellence, not for selfish reasons, but for the good of the whole. And I think what we are going to present now will also be helpful to us in pursuing that and obtaining that. Progressive levels of concern. We have form. Form has structure. If it has substance.
substance. Without substance, we can't structure. We have to contain the thing, right? Water, we don't say water has substance. Water might have substance in it, but water as itself, is it substance? No, we don't consider it substance. We say substance was put in the water, right? You've heard the expression. Substance was put into the water. All right. So we find that there are certain restrictions when we're talking about substance, especially with regard to water. Okay. So when we're talking about substance, we're talking about structural material, a material that can conform to structure, right? And the solid masses, they are the structures, aren't they? The solid masses are the structures. But after we have structure, it doesn't mean that we have mobility. For the mountain has structure, but it doesn't go anywhere until there's a volcano or an earthquake or something. But we find the organic matter has structure and mobility. How does it have mobility? Because it has life. And what is it? Water. Right? Yes. There's water with matter. A substance and water working together. So the there's mobility. There's movement and structure. All right. There's movement for it. Now, we come now to effort or initiative. There might be mobility, but doesn't mean that there's effort or initiative. When we talk about effort and initiative, we are suggesting consciousness, aren't we? Yes. A plant that's growing, you don't say it grows by its effort. It grows by photosynthesis or whatever, right? Yes. But we speak of animals and human beings, and animal life, as moving upon their initiative. They receive a stimulus, and they sense a danger or sense a good, respond upon their effort or initiative. Then after effort and initiative suggests free movement, doesn't it? Free movement. So if you're going to have free movement, what do you need behind that? You need an order. Free movement has to be regulated. You have to conform to some kind of order.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Dean Muhammad.